printed sheets with bibliography, sources of information are available. You can write to me, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel 93922, or you can telephone, and I will give you information how. If you miss the first half or the first 14 years, I'll tell you how you can catch up. Now, the Oregonian had an interesting story about the governor of Oregon. His name is Vic Atiyeh, A-T-I-Y-E-H. He comes from the Middle East, interestingly enough, of Arab descent. And they asked him, what do you think about the Bhagwan's arrest in North Carolina? He was interviewed in the Oregonian about that. And he said, well, we expected it. It was just what we planned to do. He left Oregon to go to Taiwan October the 18th and stayed there October 18th to 25th, where Taiwan and the head of the World Anti-Communist League and the Kuomintang and the son of Chiang Kai-shek have a very big part in the drugs that these people had in India and were trafficking and in South America and come to the United States. And coincidentally, then he went from Taiwan October 25th to November the 1st to no other place but Damascus, Syria, which plays such a big role in the Bolivian trial now. Romeo Tummo, Tommaso Busetti, they're from Syria. The drug connections to Syria, the drug running that Selenk was involved with, all coincidental, incidentally. But the time the Bhagwan was going to be picked up and Sheila picked up and the drug arrest in Vancouver, the governor of Oregon says, oh, I happened to be away. I was a week in Taiwan and a week in Syria. And if you've listened to me long enough, you know that there are very few coincidences. And I just put it on the back burner and watch it cook a while, and it cooks. In the Oregonian, a year and a half ago, February 84, there was a story about the police department in Portland, Oregon. And I had on the air a woman named Annette Jollin, J-O-L-L-I-N, and her father, Manfred Schreiber, was visiting her. And she is studying with the chief of police in Oregon, in Portland. And Manfred was the chief of police in Munich, Germany, when the terrorist activity, according to the Oregonian, disrupted the summer games in Munich, Germany. They don't say when seven Israeli athletes were murdered. They said the game was disrupted. That's a way of letting history erase the fact of who was killed at that game. But her father was in charge of security at Munich, and she's in Portland, Oregon, as the first chairwoman of the Portland Police Internal Investigation Committee. And her daddy is now police chief in Bonn, Germany, and the Bhagwan and Sheila and Rajneesh have a large group in Bonn, Germany. I'm sure it's just coincidental. They don't know each other at all. But Mr. Schreiber was visiting her in Oregon, and his daughter has a big part in the Oregon police. And when the Bhagwan's money goes, it's a lot of it comes from Germany and goes to Germany. Now, another newspaper article this week, October 25th, says Bhagwan and the Green Party tied to drug running. And it mentions this fellow that was arrested, Mr. Black, in Vancouver, as I say, when they split, and he's now in Seattle. He's a fugitive in this conspiracy of drugs and guns and currency leaving. He spent many years, the last three years, at Antelope Valley, in and out, with his operations. In 1983, Petra Kelly of the Green Party from Germany and Rudolf Barrow and Gerd Bastian were at the compound with the Rajneesh, and they also linked up with the Sufi cult, including the Ananda Marga. Now, I'll do more on Ananda Marga. That is the Nazi group that came out of India, and Bhagwan has been linked to those Nazis in India before he left the ashram there and came to Oregon, and has been linked to a lot of interconnecting areas that overlap, but several articles have put him directly with Nazis from Germany, and so it's interesting that a big hunk of his funds, just as the Jonestown funds, come from Germany at the present time. Now, this Petra Kelly has been very controversial. Her presence in Israel was the cause of a lot of riots, accusing of her relationship with Nazis, and a member of the Green Party who founded it was part of the Nazis during Hitler's time. And also, I have an article that she was staying at a convent in Germany when Joseph Mengele was there. He had stayed there as a safe house while he attended the funeral of his father and then went back down to São Paulo, Brazil. But it's interesting the connection of the Green Party to the drug dealer who was arrested just the time that these two broke up. He was running out of the country. The Bhagwan and Sheila went to Germany. Another story about the Rajneesh in the papers this week, about the charges for murder, attempted murder. There are 9 people that they were going to kill. But the story runs, and this is another typical story, Bhagwan Rajneesh's former secretary and 3 associates used false identification to buy guns in Texas for the assassination plot to kill 9 people in Oregon. They go to New York City with a false ID. They go to Texas to pick up these secure weapons that can't be traced. John Hinckley went to Texas to get the gun when he shot Ronald Reagan. Mark David Chapman got to Texas to get a gun when he shot John Lennon. And the Rajneesh go to Texas. Don't know if it's the same gun shop, but they had special identification from New York City to Texas, bought guns, 5 pistols, and they were setting up safe houses in Oregon and also around the world where the assassins would stay after they had shot these people in Oregon. There, several of them were prosecutors against the Rajneesh when they moved there. One gentleman, Mr. Turner, Charles Turner, U.S. attorney, was to be killed. They planned that 3 or 4 women would kill him in a scheme. They would stage a car breakdown. He had a road that went from the city hall to a country road. They would stake that out and shoot him and use the women. They have rifle practice there that were the best shots. And then another person to be killed was Leslie Zaitz, 30 years old, a reporter, part of a 4-person team who spent 13 months writing that series of articles in the Oregonian that I said were so brilliant, called For Love or Money. And if the plan succeeded, the women would use international network of Rajneesh communes to hide their killers, all set up. And the primary assassin, as I say, would be a woman, but they didn't plan to kill everybody by shooting them. Some were going to be poisoned, and it tells how they would do it, and also poisons on salad bars to cause salmonella and other poisons. So they have the technology to put people in safe houses. They have the training for the shooting. And this is more than just a religious cult and always has been. And just as Jonestown had assassins that fled, killed various people that wouldn't suicide, take it themselves, and so forth. The story how the Rajneesh was foiled in flight, that's what it's called, from the San Jose Mercury. And interestingly enough, one of the tip-offs, when he called to get an airplane, he charged it to his American Express card for $12,000 and then needed the American Express from New Jersey to get another clearance. And all the while, the United States government had been flying over their place and staking them out for a long time. And the sudden departure without the cash right on hand, he had $54,000 in cash, but he needed to put something on his credit card to get the plane and use the American Express. He doesn't leave home without it. And I might have mentioned on a program that Rolf Mengele used the American Express card when he went down to visit his daddy in San Paulo, Brazil. And on the board of American Express are Gerald Ford from the Warren Commission, who concealed the murders of John Kennedy and Henry Kissinger. And maybe these agents have a special number they use that they can get through with their American Express card. I'll be doing more on the Bhagwan, the wiretapping, and so forth, but I just want to update some more articles pertaining to their relationship to other drug problems. Now, I mentioned the importance of Bekir Selenk, that primary witness that was murdered in Turkey, but the trials, the drug trials that he would tap into are going on anyway. One is in Italy, where huge numbers of people have been murdered, and this is for trafficking, drug trafficking, gun running. And Rosano Brazzi, Ronald Reagan's friend and actor, he recently was in the series The Movies on India, and he was the star of the movie The South Pacific. He's one of the defendants among many in that trial. And in New York City, among Roy Cohn's friends and G. Robert Blakey's friends, there's a team of people being prosecuted, a drug team that is going on at the present time. And the primary connection between the New York Mafia drug arrest and the Italian drug arrest, the common man, is Tommaso Buscetta. And I also mentioned 2 weeks ago the drug connections, the heavy amount of cocaine that was picked up in Paraguay not too long ago that Jack Anderson wrote about, and the chemicals that came from Germany to process that they won't turn over. Now, the interesting thing about the trial that's going on, Mr. Buscetta was working with a particular agent, and he tells about his relationship with him in San Paulo, Brazil, the defendant. His name is Gaetano Badalamenti, and how they were involved with heavy mafia drug traffic out of San Paulo, Brazil. This is the Mengele connection of Klaus Barbie and Mengele to San Paulo, Brazil. The CIA had documents, heavy supporting evidence in 1979 of Mengele's cocaine traffic out of San Paulo, Brazil. And I said that was the date that they said they had to bury him officially because he was linked through these documents to these other top Nazis. So at the trial in New York, Mr. Busetta is talking about his friend and their mafia connections through the pizzas in New York, the pizzerias in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, to the Midwest, and also the common denominator between all this goes to Syria also, the drug connections from Italy and South America into the United States, and these trials are just bursting with information. Now, I got a book, a listener to World Watchers called me about a week and a half ago and asked me if I had the book, The Last Nazi, Joseph Mengele. And I didn't have it, so he sent it right down to me the next day. And it's written by Donald Fine. It just came out. And I'm sure Tom Davis at Research will be carrying it. And I opened to some very interesting pages that just about tie up a lot of the material that I've been expressing and sharing with you as, again, separate stories which have common denominators in them. Now, São Paulo, Brazil, has a population of 12 million inhabitants. But do you realize that one man was the attorney for three very important people out of São Paulo, Brazil? And this book talks about them. The attorney's name is Flavio Marx, and he is the gentleman who represents Mr. and Mrs. Bossert. The Bossert's were contacted by the Nazi Odessa movement to house Joseph Mengele at their home. They had a secret attic that I felt was a possible place, I mentioned on the air, for even putting Adolf Hitler, and I want to go more into that story, but the Bossert's were hired Mr. Flavio Marx as their attorney at the time that the Mengele story was breaking. Mrs. Bossert was the one who was faking the crying so the coroner, nobody would open the box. And Mr. Bossert was the man who was supposed to be swimming with Mengele in 1979. And they put him into that grave and they protected him and put him into the grave. And this book talks about the Bossert's hiring Flavio Marx. Now, another client Mr. Marx had was Nazi Gustav Wagner. I've done endless broadcasts on him because the information and headlines in Brazil at the time Wagner was arrested said that he was with Adolf Hitler. They were right in the newspapers in Brazil. If you want to send down there, I have the name of the newspapers, and I've been wanting to send for this for a long, long time. Wagner was a man allegedly wanted by Simon Wiesenthal, who lost his interest in him. Four countries wanted him. He was one of the most notorious Nazi war criminals. His attorney, Mr. Marx, was such a good attorney. Wagner was never deported. He was wanted by Germany, Austria, Israel. As I say, I've mentioned him many times on the air. He was arrested the night of Adolf Hitler's birthday party. His identity was confirmed, and he was protected by Romeo Tummo, the same police chief that cooked up this Joseph Mengele corpse story. And he never was extradited to Germany, so he had a very good attorney. And, of course, the Bossets aren't going to be charged with anything. They have a very good attorney. But there's another man out of the area who also was represented by Mr. Marx, none other than the Sicilian mafiosa Tommaso Busetti. So what we have is one man representing. Now, Busetti is not going to get bad charges. He's going to be the squealer for the first time, breaking the mafia bonds in Italy and in New York City. So they're cutting a deal. And I know it has to do with Mengele and Barbie, and I've said over and over again, Barbie's trial, DeLorean's trial, can't go on until they're sure that Mengele's really tucked away, and he isn't tucked away, and they're stalling these various trials and hoping maybe they'll die in the meantime and they won't have to go through it. So the important mafiosa Tommaso Busetta, who worked out of São Paulo, Brazil, is represented by the same attorney as Wagner had and the Bossert's have. And as I say, with 20 million people in the city, it's really hard to believe how they could find the same attorney, but I just discovered that in the book this week. Another story in this book, it says there was good reason to be wary of the story 1985 that Mengele was dead. Mr. Luke remembered a dead Joseph Mengele in Paraguay. He was buried, and later they dug it out, and he turned out to be a Czechoslovakian doctor. Mr. Erstein said he killed Mengele in Brazil in 1960, and in 1970, there was a report that came out of Paraguay that Mengele had died, and then they dug it up, and the corpse had the name Flores. The Institute of German-Paraguay Relations reported Mengele's demise in Bolivia in 1976, but they said they had to cremate the body, and then there was a report that the missing man had gone to Portugal and committed suicide. So he had a lot of burials. And this book, The Last Nazi, says that they got a promise from Fritz Steinecker, who defended a number of war criminals, that he would inform the authorities when his client died. And I was the one who smoked out Steinecker through the Wiesenthal Institute, through a continuous radio program sending information to the FBI in Detroit regarding DeLorean and Steinecker, that this money went into Mengele's account. And the last sound of Steinecker was that he wouldn't admit or say that Mengele is dead. And his name is in this book in relationship to the what was going down at digging up the grave, and he has not yet announced that he is dead. Incidentally, this book, they call it The Last Nazi, which is hardly true. They mention the fact that Romeo Tuma, the police chief down in San Paulo, said that the Odessa, the Nazi network that I refer to often, the Odessa network, was a strong body of Nazis in South America that had a link working together, and that it funded the Bosserts and Joseph Mengele while he was down in South America. And a rabbi, believe it or not, a rabbi from Brazil, San Paulo, Brazil, made Mr. Romeo Tuma, the police chief of San Paulo, retract the statement that there was no Odessa. This is, if you don't believe it, and it's hard to believe except if you've studied these rabbis, page 210, Romeo Tuma backed off from his affirmation of an Odessa. Rabbi Sobel was dubious of a structured conspiratorial network. Instead, he talked of Brazil's traditional ethnic harmony and its tolerance for ideological viewpoints. And incidentally, at the temple that my father was so much a part of, and literally 65 years there, I've mentioned a German rabbi who came, who just resigned. He retired under circumstances that was a forced retirement, which I won't share on the air. My mother's 92. When she passes away, I'll tell you about Wilshire Boulevard Temple, because the German rabbi that came over from Germany and was at that temple for quite a few years from the end of the war, went to rabbinical school, and then Wilshire Boulevard Temple, he's now replaced by a rabbi, Baruch, from Brazil, from Rio de Janeiro. And I was asking him, I haven't met him, I talked to him on the telephone, asked him about the Nazis in South America and so forth, and he's very casual about it. And he said, well, we know they're there, and they know we're there, and we all get along. And he said, who are you, reporter or investigator? And I'm sure the other three rabbis told him, good and well, wait till you meet Mae Brussel. I'm sure he was forewarned, but I was kind of sounding him out. So Rabbi Sobel from San Paulo, Brazil, is saying there's no such Odessa. And it's like Simon Wiesenthal saying there's no Martin Bormann, who's alive. And Klaus Barbie came out with a book that I heard about this week that's being published. It's out in Canada now, saying that Martin Bormann is very much alive and that he did his dealings with him. And various people in the jails in New York City know, and in Germany, in the drug traffic, know that Mengele and Bormann and Barbie all were connected. It was February 27, 1985, that the CIA documents came out that Mengele was involved with this drug traffic, and that's what began the scramble to dig up the bones at that cemetery that were carefully placed for the time that anybody would catch on what's going on. Now, the DeLorean trial has been stalled, and I haven't updated that with you, the Detroit trial. And another book came out, interesting book called Hard Driving by Mr. Haddad, and William Haddad, Random House, 1985. And I have been saying for 3 years, the tie-in of John DeLorean, the cocaine that was in the hotel at the airport in Los Angeles, outside the airport, that came from Klaus Barbie, that went through Mr. Fritz Steinecker to the bank account of Mengele. Now, Barbie may always have put money into Mengele's account, the drug traffic money into the Swiss accounts. DeLorean may not know where Barbie put the cash that he got for the cocaine that William Hetrick picked up. Let's say he didn't know, but alongside John DeLorean, ever since he got tangled in this web, immediately came Gordon Novell from the Permandex operation described in the Torbett document. Novell of Permandex, co-worker with Henry Crown, General Dynamics, Carlos Marcello, John Medeiros, Roy Cohn. Interesting that at this time, he travels everywhere with him and is like the babysitter, blew the case for John DeLorean. So he got off the cocaine case in Los Angeles by writing to the jury and the press conferences and so forth. And incidentally, the attorney, Mr. Weitzman, who represented DeLorean, is representing Kathy Smith in Los Angeles, and the Belushi murder trial goes nowhere. She tells how she murdered him, tapes how she murdered him, and you don't hear a word out of that. A little more of the cocaine and heroin from this gang. But the DeLorean book, Hard Driving, I just want to cite a few quotations to show you the direction that the books are coming out about DeLorean. The first three were puff pieces, and you get a little bit of information, but William Haddad is a little more knowledgeable. In fact, he was a speechwriter for John Kennedy, and he worked with Estes Kefauver, and he's been in the Washington scene for a long time, so he's a different element. When he writes his book about DeLorean, he's bringing out different points than these PR men who want to take him from city to city as Mr. Charmer. You never hear anything political about John DeLorean. And when he was first arrested, there was enough to do 10 consecutive hours about it. And luckily, I saved all of it and, you know, separated. But now some other pieces are coming out. Now, just a few quotations. On page 27, it tells when John DeLorean was working at General Motors. In mid-74, John had established the John Z. DeLorean Corporation in Detroit. And for a time, he worked out of Bunky Knudsen's office. He had consulting contracts that he claimed were worth over $3 million. He was giving advice. The fees came from Allstate Insurance, which is Sears Roebuck. And the head of Sears formed the American Security Council. I've been wanting to do broadcasts on the links of that group to the murder of John Kennedy. W.R. Grace, the shipping company, the Ryder Systems, a trucking concern, and Renault Car. Now, interestingly enough, John DeLorean bought into the San Diego Chargers at a time where they were all accused of cocaine trafficking and taking, not trafficking, but using. I don't know if they distributed it, but they used it. And then he sold his 8% share of that to Baron Hilton. Baron Hilton is a sovereign military knight of Malta out of the Vatican. J. Peter Grace is the American representative of the Knights of Malta in the United States, the military branch of the Vatican. And I had read that DeLorean, before he pulled up with the born-again Christian, was at St. Patrick's in New York City every day that he was in New York City, and he had close relationship with Cardinal Cook, who made a quick demise of it, one of these quick Jack Ruby cancers when John DeLorean was arrested. Another section of the book, it says one of the consulting accountants, W.R. Grace, paid $25,000 a month to DeLorean. They were going to build recreational vehicles, but he couldn't make the risk. DeLorean got the money anyway. Grace was reported to spend $1 million on the project. It was a mock-up that was never built, so that was money for DeLorean's pocket. Well, Grace and the Grace family, of course, are described in the book The Pirates in the Room. The strong tentacles, of course, in South America with the Gray Shipping Line, with the CIA, with the labor unions, and a lot of hands into the fascist repressive governments in South America. And he's telling us now, Mr. J. Peter Grace, on how to save money for our ordinary domestic needs. But he's not throwing $1 million or $2 million on John DeLorean for no reason. And DeLorean was in heavy operations. Part of those operations are described in a chapter called The Golden Ring. And this describes DeLorean's behavior in early 1981. Keep in mind, in March 81, Reagan was shot, and Alexander Haig, a knight of Malta, thought he was in charge of the White House, or would be under George Bush, whose brother is a knight of Malta in the Vatican. And in March 81, the Pope was shot, and all hell broke loose, and financial systems changed, because then the Masonic Lodge was exposed, and the guns and narcotics traffic that linked to Henry Arsan in Syria. But this is the milieu of 81 that was going on at the time DeLorean was working with his companies. DeLorean formed what he called a maritime company. So did Klaus Barbie. They were going to lease ships and ship Mexican oil around the world. And he also sent an agent, Jean Cafiero, to Poland. This is a time when John Paul II was sending espionage money of $50 million to Lech Walesa, and sending vehicles, or the plan to ship vehicles, which weren't made, into Eastern Europe, which would be a wonderful excuse, like the export-import, for spying. Now, this is a direct quotation from the book. John planned to manufacture replicas of famous old cars in Italy. I knew he had strong Italian connections. The underwritings were planned for the production of an engine called the Stirling. For reasons John never explained, certain South Americans were using our credit cards, that were set up by J. Peter Grace and so forth, and phones, and oil shipments were being moved by our telex. John asked me to develop a privately operated intelligence service to accept assignments too embarrassing for governments to undertake. We would recruit mercenaries, plant spies, and other businesses. John raised the idea, and I responded, and he wrote me a letter spelling out in detail what he wanted. He also said that he thought the British would then try to kill him. He said, "They're going to kill me. The British government doesn't hesitate. They employ hit squads to take out businessmen they dislike." I was so concerned. On March 18, 1981, I sent John a private note saying that a lot of people may be out to destroy you, to penetrate your secrets, examine your court cases for negative testimony, examine your financial affairs, and I would turn loose great reporters to do the story if I really wanted to hurt you. And so when the reporters got on DeLorean's case, he said they were hurting him. And then this book describes Colin Chapman, the great designer of auto motors, racing cars, who was working for DeLorean, who was in fact murdered. And I have the files or list of six people around DeLorean that died immediately in this time period as soon as he was arrested in Los Angeles and connected to their being ripped off, his associations of John DeLorean. So he blames the British has the hit squads, but he knows they're hit squads. And then this book describes, we paid $17 million into a Swiss account in connection with our work with Lotus Car. Lotus is Colin Chapman, who designed those Lotus engines. So they have never accounted for the $17 million, and that was supposed to be, I was told, the money that cash went from buying the cocaine in Los Angeles. The money would go into that account and was transferred to Mengele's account. Klaus Barbie didn't trust John DeLorean and wanted cash. And John and Barbie was quickly arrested when the government changed in Bolivia. And then DeLorean was arrested right after that. DeLorean was arrested first, and Barbie right after that, the first of the year in 1983, in January of 83. So in the news and in the books being published, if I wish I had more time to read more books, these new books are wonderful, are the connections of these various people and the primary witnesses and their attorneys and the trials that I brought up several weeks ago and intermittently through the last year will continue, and I will update these characters. I wanted to go a little slower tonight, I hope I did, with some of the names involved, because they are pertinent in the fact that each one of them that I cited has a relationship to each other. You can't do it in 1 hour, but I will bring those knots a little tighter each week, and you'll be able to see the pattern of what I've referred to, the Odessa, and how it works, and how these court trials are bringing out the relationships between these people. Well, now the hour is up, and I'm going to turn the station over to David for some nice reggae. You can relax. And I hope one person calls up every week and subscribes. Otherwise, I will go on a strike. Some evening we'll have an hour of silent time. We'll try out our music. This is Mae Brussel. It's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, and I'll be back with you next week.